to the SMS Text News Podcast. Here's the way it is. Live from London.
Hello and welcome to the SMS Text News Podcast. I'm your temporary host, Dan Lane, and with me is...
Ben Smith.
My name's James Watley.
Ewan McLeod, our regular host, is busy off on his desert island this week, as I'm sure you're aware, so he can't make it. He sends in a special report, which we'll splice in later on. First up, I believe we have Ben and his brand new shiny toy, which we're all very jealous of, which was the E71.
It's very, very shiny.
How are you getting on with that, Ben?
Very good, actually. I'm really liking it. I went to the launch at Altitude, which is on the 29th floor of a spanky building just on the north bank of the Thames on Monday. They gave us some E71s and E66s to play with.
You stole an E66, yeah, though, didn't you, Ben?
Fess up, you stole it.
There was a misunderstanding about whether or not I was supposed to be taking the
Please,
E66.
Please, Governor, it was a misunderstanding. I didn't mean to nick it.
I never done it. The big boy made me do it. Yeah. I accidentally took one of the E66s away, but I had a 24-hour play with that. But the E71 really is the star of the show. It's obviously a QWERTY handset replacement for the E61 and the E61i. A really, really nice device, quite small form factor now relative to the previous devices.
It comes with its own leatherette case, which
yeah,
is
yeah, I was quite a nice touch with that.
Well,
it's quite a nice little case.
If you are listening,
James Watley is holding the case up as if to allow you all to look at it.
Well, I was going to say, if you are listening, and there was a little video we attached to that, which was Dan, Ben, and I on the boat on the way to where we are now doing the podcast, and the E71 is shown off in its leatherette case. If you're wondering what it looks like.
Yeah, I thought actually the case looked a bit low rent, but it mimics.
It's better than no case, which is what you previously got on almost all Nokia handsets.
This is true. All the E series come now with the leather cases. The 66 does as well, and they're snazzy enough. So.
They're kind of doing the opposite to Apple, where the original iPods came with the case and charger and everything, and nowadays they just come with the device and a lead.
Yeah, that's true. So
N series comes with music. E series comes with leatherette.
Nice.
That could work.
Yeah, it's a nice device, nice small form factor. I've been using it for about a week now. It's a bit of a fingerprint magnet, but the styling's pretty nice as well. I think the only, I'll post some more information on it in detail. The only disappointment I've had really is the camera. I suppose on an E-series device, you shouldn't expect the camera to be.
But it's 3.2 megapixel, right?
Yeah.
Don't start with that. Megapixels doesn't always equal quality.
That's exactly it. The resolution isn't the problem there. It's the quality of the images it takes. They're quite grainy in the dark. There's loads of pixelation.
Is it just self-portraits you're doing?
That's it, yeah, basically self-portraits, nearly always entirely in the nude, actually, as well, with strong backlighting.
That's not a resolution problem.
Not a resolution problem, no.
I think
one of the main problems is that it is kind of almost an afterthought, and it doesn't have things like autofocus or anything on it. It's literally, you know...
Yeah, didn't the product manager say that the camera was chosen literally just for the size of the handset?
Yeah. I mean, it's an additional feature. It does snaps in reasonable light quite well. But yeah, to be honest,
if it's the only camera you've got, it'll be adequate. But you won't be winning any competitions with it.
I think the problem here is that the bloggers have all been waiting for this to be the be all and end all device. Basically, you know what people have been waiting for, this sort of in series capable device with a camera and a QWERTY keyboard, are going to be disappointed. I've tried doing some quicks from it this week, and the processor in the unit isn't really up to the job of doing a quick. But like I say, as a nice email device, it's good. The software probably will benefit from using some of the third-party clients rather than the Nokia-supplied email client. But otherwise, it's a nice unit. Really like it, and it's nice to see Nokia actually putting some styling effort into their E-series devices, because previously they've been pretty pig ugly, and this is a nicely styled device. In fact, a lot of people in my office have been commenting on how attractive it is and how they actually prefer it over some of the other devices that I've had recently.
It's not just that the other devices were pig ugly as well. The original E61, the build quality on that was absolutely dismal. It was plasticky, and it was just a horrible device to hold. And the E61i was a slight improvement. It had some metal on there, but it still didn't feel like the quality device that the E71 is.
No, it is a real improvement. And of course, the other thing is that anyone who's sort of disappointed maybe with some of the specs around the non-core functions of this phone, so for example, some of the processing speed for some of the multimedia apps or the camera, for example. Nokia hinted strongly at their launch that it wouldn't be the only QWERTY handset that they had coming out in the not too distant future. So there's potential room for more E-series or maybe an N-series QWERTY device.
The Mystic N-series QWERTY device.
Well, we don't know if it's coming, but there could be that. Or alternatively, there could be room in the E-series range for a premium device where you do get all this spec. And it's
or maybe just not even a series device, maybe like a classic device or something with, you know, like a kind of low entry.
They're going to start a whole new range, a whole new series just for bloggers with all the things that bloggers want.
Well, the other thing they did say in terms of QWERTY handsets is that the E70 is dead, and that's that bizarre candy bar phone with the flip out keyboard that makes it sort of double wired. If you
I
know,
quite like that. Yeah. I had the very first one of those, which wasn't a flip out thing. It was literally just weird. It was horrible. But then I had the other one, which was a flip-out thing, and I thought that was a really nice compromise between QWERTY and a candy bar.
Yeah, the people I know that had those handsets, as much as I looked at them and went, they're horrible, the people I know that had them really, really enjoyed them, much like Saab drivers. Moving on.
I was just leaving some silence so I could cut in like a comedy trombone. Whack, 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 whack.
Yeah.
I know what you mean there. They've confirmed it's dead. They've got no plans to revive it. So I think when they talk about QWERTY devices, we're obviously thinking about the communicator style. I think it's the E90, isn't it?
Nice device.
Which is a nice device, although a bit chunky for some people. And then inevitably maybe some more QWERTY devices because they're majoring on how good this is for email. And it is good for email, but there's...
One of the things that puzzles me about that whole email thing, sorry to interrupt, but their email client is still not that great.
It is really quite poor. Yeah, I mean that stands out. And of course, they've actually on this version they've upgraded the calendar software and all the other bits and pieces in a lot of areas. And so it's actually a lot more capable, except on email. And that does seem strange on a device that you buy primarily for email. So I would hope maybe that there's some upgrades coming, or that actually there's something under the surface. Maybe we can use some third-party apps. But that does seem odd. I'm using Mail for Exchange on this, and it's chugging away quite competently. The screen resolution is the same as the previous devices, although it's a smaller form factor, so everything's packed in a bit more tightly. That means using slightly larger fonts to make it readable, and I think overall that's reduced the amount of information it can display on the screen. But I think it's a good start, and I mean it's a good device on which to work with. I mean the Mail client's just software. You know, there'll be better software coming along, I suspect.
Excellent.
Okay, so will we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay, so I think next up is Dan's phone. So Dan, you've made a phone.
Yeah, no, not yet. I haven't made it. I'm going to. I've decided that we criticise mobile phone manufacturers quite a lot here. And without really understanding what really does go into creating and designing from scratch a mobile phone. And while I'll never actually be able to do that to the same level as someone like Nokia could, I'm going to purchase off-the-shelf parts, and I have purchased off-the-shelf parts, and I'm going to build a mobile phone.
Brilliant.
Well, at least I'm going to try to. I don't know a huge amount about electronics, but I'm figuring out as I go along.
And can you buy the components? I mean, this is what's confusing me. You say you're going to build it off components.
Well, I've started off with off-the-shelf stuff, so I'm not going out to Broadcom and buying a chip, a single 3G chipset, and soldering onto a board myself. I've got a module that has all that built into it, and it's just got a very simple interface to it. So I'm not taking the same steps, but hopefully by the end of it, I'll have a better understanding of compromises that have to be made to get something into a package that you can fit in your hand and have usable battery life and so on. And also, it's the sort of thing I'd like to do.
We are in Casa de Lane at the moment, and we can't see said device.
Well, that's because when we got here, you were so adamant that you had to just do the podcast and go, because you're such a busy man that I haven't had a chance to show you around.
For the listeners' benefit, we have been here for over an hour waiting for the two technological guys here to try and sort out the podcast. But let's not get involved. It's not for the readers.
They're listeners, not readers.
It's been a long day.
We can cut this bit out.
Yeah.
I seem to say a lot of that.
Let's leave a bit of silence so we can cut this bit out.
SMS Text News. Rocking your mobile world.
Okay, so moving on then. James Whatley, talk about Glastonbury.
Glastonbury. So I wrote a post about this last week. The Mobile Geek of Glastonbury. Last year, I managed to blog Glaston blog, in fact, the entirety of my journey through Glastonbury from my N95 via Vox. And something I didn't mention in the post is it really kind of struck me because I was umming and ahhing about whether or not I was going to blog Glastonbury this year. I thought, you know, maybe this year I should make it private, I'm going with different friends, or, you know, I just kind of unplug for a little while, because it is like journeying into limbo. And to an extent, I would imagine that staying connected at Glastonbury is probably a lot harder than staying connected on a desert island.
Admittedly, I don't especially have for that desert island is actually quite a luxury place with GSM and Wi-Fi. And
yeah. Admittedly, I'm not going to rock up to Glastonbury with my own network. Plugging that into somewhere in my tent wouldn't really work exactly. So the lack of power is a big thing. but no, one of the things that struck me was, so last year I used my phone and I used Vox and that was it. This year, the plethora of tools that are available to me.
A plethora.
Is that a bit like a plethora?
Plethora.
How do you find out about plethoras? You look it up in a plethorasaurus.
It sounds like a really camp dinosaur. No, I'm a plethora. We'll cut this bit out.
A cornucopia of social
James
tools
fails
available
at English.
To me. No, no,
silence.
It's funny. Keeps it real.
People don't want to hear you messing up.
Come on. I'm quite happy to leave my mess ups in. Okay. Officially, that's staying in. A plethora of social tools. I've been saying that wrong.
Quite a lot of social tools.
There's only one social tool in this room.
Anyway, moving swiftly onwards. Quick, Spinvox, Moblog, Vox Steel. You know, there's so many different ways I can upload stuff.
I've got a theory.
To the internet.
All these companies, Quick and everyone like that, they're actually all started by Orange to drum up trade for their charging tent because they run your battery down incredibly quickly.
That charging tent's a load of guff. Apparently this year they've got lockers.
It's a plethora of
but
guff.
Last year they didn't have tents. Last year they didn't have lockers. You couldn't lock it up. You had to stand by your phone while it charged, which kind of defeats the object, if you ask me. You know what I mean? I might as well just not charge it. I'm going to miss out on the whole thing. I might as well be at home charging my phone, being a tent, kind of deftly hearing some
this
music.
Is James Watley's famous tolerating waiting for something.
Yeah, I'm not a patient man.
Really? You did surprise me, because the last hour and a half sort of whinging hasn't been a clue.
We would have actually fixed the technical problems we had with the podcast in about 10 minutes if it weren't for James's 45 minutes of moaning about it.
That's it. Oh, I am sitting here. My time is not being productively used. I could have been expatiating on social media.
What are the social consequences of me sitting here wasting time?
Time is important, listeners. Don't waste
James
it.
Watley is complaining.
Anyway, moving on. So, I'm really looking forward to the kind of stuff that I'm going to be using. Ewan's, as I said in the post, Ewan's already sent me a couple of emails from two companies who've got things that they want me to try out. One of them is a GPS tagging system. So I can tag things in a GPS. So I can tag my tent with a GPS tag or something. And if I lose my tent, I can just switch on an application on my phone. I can find it. I haven't looked at any of these things, but I'm going to list off everything that I take to Glastonbury. Probably the day before I go, just so the listeners/readers can see what tools I take with me.
Okay, so the kind of things you're looking at then, you said there was some geolocation kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's software. I mean, yeah. From a software point of view, I kind of nailed it with the uploading stuff. From a hardware point of view, for the listeners' benefit, Ben's literally just handed me a flip video. And I've done a bit of recording of us setting up here, which I'm going to stick on YouTube, which you'll probably link to at the end.
I probably will, yeah.
So I'm going to take that with me, although it's just another piece of kit to carry around. Power. I need more power. I need more batteries, more chargers, chargers that you don't plug in, portable chargers, and so on and so forth.
I'd like to see if you can take some of the stuff that Ewan's taken to his desert island with you and see how it fares compared to a desert island and a muddy field in England, where the sun may not be shining all the time.
I was going to say, anything that's sun-powered is unlikely to succeed in Glastonbury, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. I mean, there was a few people there last year with wind-up chargers, but the amount of stuff you got out of that after 3 minutes...
They're not called wind-up chargers because you have to wind them up. That's a completely different...
Yeah, do you know those work? You go, you're a rubbish charger, you are. You're rubbish, and your friends are rubbish.
The only one I've heard good things about is the Pro Porter, which I know Dan swears by.
Yep.
And the Power Monkey, which Miss Jen, Black Phoebe, she swears by that. and she showed me one recently at the Nom 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 event. So yeah, if one of those turns up, I'll give it a go.
You could always pay money for it as well.
Yeah, I probably could. To be honest, next Tuesday, I'm going to be out on a kind of getting the gadgets for Glastonbury trip, so I'll probably pick one up if I haven't got one already.
Cool, and just remind us, what hardware are you going to be needing to recharge?
An N95, both variants. I'm going to be taking both of my N95s with me. And that'll be it, and a flip. How does this thing charge, by the way, Ben?
USB charging.
I'm looking. Sorry, I can't see anything. But yeah, all right.
Wait, it charges.
Oh, charges while it's plugged in.
James Watley is once again just
so okay on the flip.
On
by the way, the flip I thought was brilliant. Does an hour of footage.
James Watley is the only man I know who can hurt himself extracting the USB cable from the flip. This is something I would give to a child without a second thought.
Anyway, the flip's brilliant, but I can do an hour of footage, and then what do I do with it? It's redundant for the rest of the time at Glastonbury because I've got no USB port to plug it into.
But now this is a big important thing, because you're saying that power is very important. The good thing about the flip is it's separate from your main communication device, so you can take an hour of footage and it doesn't impact your ability to take calls and arrange meetings with people. Whereas I've been doing a lot of quick streaming, and a couple of times recently I've done about 10 minutes worth of video and it's drained a battery completely. And then I'm stuck without any way of making calls. So the flip is pretty handy in places where power.
If you've got video, also, but if you've got video that you don't want to share immediately, one of the great things about my 95 is that I can boot up quick and start streaming, or I can take a video and then when I get back to my tent, I can just hit a button and it will upload straight to my blog. However, with the flip, there's no upload stuff here. You know, I've got to wait until I get in front of a laptop of some kind before I can upload
content. That's the compromise of being able to actually keep your battery power.
Okay, so we'll. Watch this space. You're going to be doing a series of articles from Glastonbury.
I've done one post already. I'm going to do another post before I go. After that, to be honest, most of the content I upload will be straight to my Vox blog, which Ewan will probably pull from and regurgitate onto SMS Text News. I could get Scribe installed onto my N95. Actually, while I'm here, that might be a good idea. I might install Scribe onto my phone, and that way I could access SMS Text News and upload some content from Glastonbury. I'll speak to you in about that.
Cool. Okay. So
next up, I think we have a section from Ewan.
That's right. So at this point, I'm going to splice in some words from Ewan on his desert island. I say slumming it, by all accounts. It sounds terrible out there. I'm also going to put a picture of Ewan having a terrible, terrible time on his island in the post to go with.
We have an accompanying picture of Dan Lane.
I have to say, we really should. A big heartfelt thanks from all of us at SMS Text News to Ewan McLeod for sacrificing his personal safety, for risking it all on a desert island.
That man just gives and gives and gives, doesn't he? Really he? Does. It touches me.
If
really,
you've seen the Tom Hanks film Castaway, you're only really halfway there.
Tom Hanks film Castaway. I mean, Tom Hanks was in practically a resort.
Compared to what Ewan's going through right now.
This is true. So rumour has it he's crossing the island next week to go and talk to the others.
From the Maldives, from the SMS Text News Desert Island feature. I hope you've been following the coverage. There'll be a special section on the site shortly with all the feedback from the island. Well, I'm sat on the deck in one of the spa water villas at the Conrad Rangali Island in the Maldives, and I've spent the last couple of days playing with absolutely everything that we've been given, including an Iridium satellite phone, two types of solar chargers, which are absolutely invaluable when you're using your phone in a remote location. Absolutely invaluable, because there's not always a plug socket, or indeed a compatible plug socket. Conveniently, in the Maldives, everything runs on British power, so all my chargers work. But the solar charger is really smart. I've also been having a lot of fun with the Flip. When I was at the launch off the Flip, London launch last week, one of the chaps there gave me a water. How do you get a waterproof shell for the Flip? £29 on Amazon, worth every penny because I've been able to film underwater. really, really is useful. It's fantastic. The flip is so easy, because I know you can do this with normal video cameras, but the flip, you just switch it on, stick it in its case, in the watertight case, and then just jump into the water and film stuff. And then come out, plug it straight in with a USB, the USB connection, which is in. It flips out of the device. Really, really cool. So within seconds, you're watching the footage and editing it, playing with it, or uploading it. Really smart. I haven't yet got hold of my private mobile network, courtesy of Teleware. Teleware provide these really, really smart private mobile networks that work absolutely anywhere. Mine is still stuck in customs. I've written the obligatory, please can I have my private mobile unit back letter. The hotel, the Conrad PR, has been very useful. Very nice chap. He's been doing his best to see if we can speed up the process and if I will actually have the unit to play with before we'll have to leave and come back to the UK. We'll see. I hope all is well in London, gents. And it was great to hear the podcast last week. I look forward to hearing it just as soon as it's published. Bye-bye from the Maldives.
Put down your Motorola razors and burn those phone holsters. You're listening to SMS Text News.
And thank you for those words, Ewan.
Yeah, thanks, Ewan.
Seamless.
Moving swiftly on.
Okay, Crystal sent me an email, and I think we ought to include it because obviously Crystal's been thinking about mobile data in Canada for a very long time. As far as I can tell, they only recently have mobile phones in Canada. Previous to that, they just bang rocks together, I think. And at the moment, a phone call costs as much as a month's salary, as far as I can tell. And only the very elite can afford them. So Crystal sent word through that to coincide with the launch of the iPhone in Canada, that there are Rogers Wireless, which I think is probably the name rather than a description of
Rogers,
what they do.
Rogers owns everything in Canada. It's right. Like the Richard Branson of Canada or something.
I see. He has a beard as well, does he? We'll cut this bit out.
This is just going to be, hello, welcome to the SMS Text News podcast. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Okay, so Rogers are going to be launching some unlimited data or some high volume data bundles. Just reading through here, $60 for a gigabyte to $100 for 6 gigabytes. I don't know what the Canadian dollar is doing exchange rate wise, but those don't sound particularly competitive, I suppose, to European or UK tariffs at the
really
moment.
Can't. The US mobile industry is bad enough, but Canada is just way out there. So comparing it to European costs is just, it's really unfair.
Excellent. Well, I guess the big improvement, though, is that Rogers are saying that this isn't iPhone specific, so everyone will be able to benefit from that. So I think basically what's being said here is that it's the beginning of the turning of the tide with regards to mobile data in Canada.
Yeah, it's good. I look forward to upcoming reports on how that works out for them.
That's it. And Crystal has just been saying here, if they're going to offer $30 unlimited data with the iPhone, which I think is also part of this announcement, she might be willing to sign up. So set her shiny new N95 aside.
The next thing I wanted to talk about was incoming call charges. There was a bit of a noise made earlier in the week because a European commissioner is planning to make all mobile networks in Europe cut their termination costs. Some of the mobile networks, I'm not sure which, have threatened to adopt a US-style pricing plan whereby the recipient of the call pays for the extra leg of the call to go over the mobile network. So in essence, the caller is paying their standard charge and the recipient of the call is picking up the extra tab, which upset quite a few European people.
So at the moment, for us who don't get involved in this kind of thing very regularly, when you make a call, the person in the UK making the call is charged a fee, and then the mobile network of the people terminating the call take a cut of that to cover their costs.
Yeah, back in ye olden times, before mobile networks existed, I won't go too far back because we'll be here all day. But there was a fixed fee for calling across landlines, locally or nationally. It differed back then, but there was pretty much a set fee. When mobile networks come into place, there was obviously a lot of infrastructure, and it costs extra to route that call over the radio network. And this is where the North American market and European market split. over here, the caller pays extra to route that call over the radio network. In the States, the person who owns the mobile phone pays for that extra bit to go across the radio network. And there are arguments for and against, and I think the only real issue is that people don't want to change the way they're using it.
And so what's the motivation for this change from the EU Commissioner?
Just to cut down termination costs and try and reduce costs, but I think it's a bit heavy-handed, and the networks are fighting back with threats of adopting the alternative pricing plan.
It's not good for the end consumer, really, is it?
It could be. That's the thing. I'd like to see an option, because obviously it depends on who gets the convenience, because I think I'm providing a convenience by having a mobile phone to people that want to call me. To me, the mobile phone is probably a bit of an inconvenience, because I get disturbed all the time, usually by people asking me if I want to upgrade my contract. But if I was, say, of the mindset that I get the convenience of the mobile phone because I'm an important business person and I need to be able to receive calls, I might be happy to pick up that cost. Whereas some people might not be happy to pick up the cost. They might want people to pay more to call them to get them to mobile. I'd like to see operators adopt a mixed approach to this.
It would be difficult, though, for people to know if they were going to be how they're going to be charged for a call, though.
That's the thing. Is over here we have the 07 numbers, and you know that by calling an 07 mobile number you're going to be charged more. Whereas in the States they have complete number portability over mobile networks, so you can call a standard landline and you have no idea it's going over to mobile. That's one of the benefits of adopting that system. So I call you on what I think is a landline, and it just goes straight through to your mobile because you're picking up the extra cost. I don't need to know what I'm calling you on. There are arguments to and for, and we're just mentioning it because it's something that was mentioned in the news earlier.
Yeah, something I meant. Well, the only comment I had really on it, I remember when, I can't remember what it was now. I talked about it earlier this year, but Skydeck. We talked about Skydeck before.
Yes, they're the guys who allow you to do analysis of your calling regime.
Yeah, and they do this in the States. And the only reason they do this in the States and only the States is because the States is where you are charged for incoming and outgoing calls. So therefore they get billed for every call. Here in the UK, we only get billed for outgoing calls, so therefore they couldn't really show you a true kind of data mining picture of your bill. So when I saw this was happening, I thought, oh my God, that's terrible. Oh, but it might be quite cool to try Skydeck.
There are pros and cons to each approach, as I said, and I think the people were getting quite upset about this, and I really don't think there's anything to be upset about. Mobile networks don't change that quickly. And I don't think we'll ever see a mobile network actually adopt the opposite of what they're currently doing, whether it's in the UK or Europe or the US. Okay, next up, Unlimited Drinks is coming to Dublin on the 10th of July. The premier networking event in the mobile industry is coming to Ireland. This time it's sponsored by Anam, Arantech and Changing Worlds. There's a post on the website if you want to hear more about who the sponsors are. The exact details will be following later on with location and so on. And I think Ben and myself are going to try and get there.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to try and do one of those high carbon footprint short flights out of Heathrow.
I'm going to try and go as well. I just I'll see what my budget is like after I get home from Glastonbury. I may be out of the country on spin box duty as well, but it would be awesome if we could all go. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. If you want to come along, send an email to ewan@smstextnews.com with the subject unlimited drinks equals yes to get yourself on the guest list.
So if you don't want to come, send an email to ewanmcleod at smstextnews.com with unlimited drinks equals no.
And if you're not sure if you want to come, send an email to ewan@smstextnews.com with the subject unlimited drinks equals I don't know.
Next up, we have some shout outs.
Dan Lane loves this feature.
Yeah. Go on, Watley. It's,
it's a loading. Bear with me a second. Let me just pull up Jaiku.
Ben, do you quickly. Have any shout-outs?
No.
Okay, so...
Me and Ben are staunchly against shout-outs. So, okay. James, do your shout-outs.
While these guys were chatting about nothing on the boat on the way here, I was actually doing some work. So I got some shout-outs here for the SMS Text News podcast.
I'd just like to invite James to shove his shout-outs all the way.
So that's shout-outs. Next up is Thing of the Week.
Hang on a minute. Greetings to all phone lovers from The Phone Report. Abel, who writes for Symbian Motion, Mobile
also
9,
known as Adonis Demon.
Adonis Demon.
On Jaiku.
And he's also started a blog about his cats recently, which is quite fun if you
very
like
very relevant to the podcast.
Yes. Jeb Brilliant has dropped a note saying, please, can you give us a shout for Top Mobile 20? It's still taking smartphone softwares into the contest, and if you're interested, you can contact Jeb. Who else have we got here? 7.0 says hi.
Yeah, I was with Jonathan at the E71 launch this week, and John also accidentally stole an E66, so well done him.
I put it to you, you were in collusion.
Well,
whatever that means.
In fact, Jonathan's got a question. Do people, I think he means us, do you think national roaming for 999/112 emergency calls, i.e. being able to make a call with your own network, when your own network doesn't have coverage but another does, would be a significant enhancement to the 999/112 emergency service?
I don't know enough about the way mobile operators handle 999 calls to really comment on what they currently do, but if they don't already do... I thought they would do this already, because you can make a 999 call without having a SIM in the phone, I'm sure of it. No, at least 60% sure.
Not without SIM. A SIM, you know, even if your SIM card is blocked and you can't use it at all.
The trouble is, it's difficult to test it.
Yeah, I know, but if you get your lock code
without
wrong,
getting arrested.
Yeah, it's difficult to test it without feeling guilty.
Your PIN number wrong. What's it called? Your PIN number. Your PUK code. If you get your PUK code wrong, you can still make your emergency calls.
The thing I don't understand how this works is that if you try and select a mobile network that you're not subscribed to in the UK,
You can make an emergency call. No, don't make. Stop. End. Taking the battery out.
Dan's making an emergency call.
You can. The N95 attempts to make an emergency call without a SIM card in it if you dial 999 and hit the green button, even while it's locked.
Right.
And I'm really sorry.
Old office trick. Do I have to dial 9 to get out of the office? No, you dial 9 3 times. Okay, then sure.
I don't think this is going to work, because I don't think a mobile network lets you even make a connection to them.
Well, if my battery hadn't fallen out the N95 when I picked it up, I would have shown you that it did actually attempt to make a 999 call, and then I did admittedly hang up before it made the call.
Dan gets through. Hello, I'm just testing. Well done, you passed.
Good service. Keep up the good work.
So I've got one more shout to...
I was just ringing to say thanks.
Ms. Jen, Black Phoebe, popular blogger from... Did Nokia Urbanista stuff. She linked back to her blog. She wants to say hi. So hello, Ms. Jen.
Hello.
Hello.
And I think we're done.
Are we done with the
shout-outs?
Oh, thank God for that. Next up, Thing of the Week. I think, Watley, you can go first.
Thing of the Week. Right. you may remember a few podcasts back that I got a bit excited about an S60 event, S60 application called Mobler, which allowed me to scrabble my music on the fly.
What's scrabbling?
Scrabbling is when you let a piece of music... It's a made-up word.
It's Last.fm is the service, and Last.fm lets you... scrabble your tracks. We had Last.fm.
What's scrabbling?
Explain that. We had one of the Last.fm clients previously as our Thing of the Week. Now Last.fm will track the things you listen to, and it's the actual pushing up to Last.fm of what you're listening to that is the act of scrabbling. It's a made up.
Okay.
Word.
Okay. So made up. Brilliant. Lovely. The reason I got excited about this is because at the time, and I made the comparison then about the private beta version of JIQ, which started listening to the music I was listening to. Posting new JIQs every time I changed track to my JIQ stream, which was kind of cool. Now, the thing is, with this new thing, the latest update to Nokia Sports Tracker. Nokia Sports Tracker has just been updated to version 1.78. Well done, Daniel. Thank you.
Sorry.
Nokia is just... I'm just unplugging something.
Don't unplug the mixer.
Unplug that one. We're unplugging that one. There we go. Plugging Ben Smith back in. Otherwise, we would have lost him just then. Sorry.
Lost the podcast.
Yeah, Sports Tracker has just been upgraded to version 1.78. And basically what this has done, aside from adding in Italian, French, etc. Just Italian. Now it says here, due to a bunch of requests we've received, we decided to put out a little new feature to test use. And it now tracks your favourite music while you exercise. Now bear in mind, Sports Tracker, I don't really use it for exercising anyway. But it can track me using GPS, and I can take photos, which it geotags, and then it can upload those onto the widget, which I've currently got on whatleydude.blogspot.com. Now, as well as uploading pictures, it now uploads video, and now also uploads the name of the music track that I was listening to on that journey.
Can you tell me what this has to do with sports? Because the name Sports Track has always put me off, because I'm not a very sporty person.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is currently up for discussion, how it doesn't really do what it does what it says in the tin, really.
Yeah, I thought this was something that actually Nokia phones should have built in, rather than it being a separate application. It just does that all the time.
Well, I find it interesting in that it's all, you know, as soon as you introduce a chat element to this application, you've got Jaiku, or you know, a very almost better version of Jaiku, in that instead of taking it off your cell ID, it takes it off of your GPS. You can add your music tracks. You can take photos and upload them instantly, which are geotagged. You can see whereabouts on your journey you were when you took them.
How does this all affect your battery life?
Well, you know, I would imagine it has quite a significant amount of power drain.
Quite negatively,
yeah,
I imagine.
Of course it would. But yeah, there you go. I mean, that's my thing of the week. And I'm quite excited about that. I've literally just installed it on my N95, literally before we started. And I'm going to start playing with it this week. And I'm probably going to play with it. No, I'm not going to play with it, Glastonbury, at all.
So just to confirm, it's your thing of the week.
Is the latest version of Nokia Sports Tracker.
In theory. You haven't tried it yet.
No, but I'm really excited about it.
Excellent, excellent. Ben Smith, tell us about your thing of the week.
My thing of the week this week is security. Not security in general, but security on your mobile phone. One of the biggest problems that you have, not necessarily just as an enterprise user, but as a normal person with mobile email, is that if you lose your phone or if it's stolen, somebody can see quite a lot of personal information about you. Or they might be able to retrieve the numbers out of the phone memory. They might be able to see your browsing habit. I mean, basically, as much information as you often have on your laptop. So at the moment, you can obviously protect that information by having a PIN code or something like that, which is demanded when you turn the phone on or times out. But what if somebody takes the memory chip out of your car, out of your phone, or attempts to manages to circumvent the PIN code request, maybe by putting a new SIM in the phone because you haven't turned that password on? How can you protect that? And the nice thing that this new E71 device has, in fact, all the E-series has, is memory encryption. And I've turned that on both for the phone's memory and for the built-in memory card as well. So if you take the memory card out of my phone now, nothing else will be able to read it. Now, some people would think that was a bit of a drawback, but given it's got all my pictures and my email stored on it, I'm completely happy with that. If I want to, I can take the keys for that encryption off the phone and then put them on other devices in the future so that I can move the chip between devices.
Does the E71 support Exchange's wipe the remote device feature?
Well, Mail for Exchange supports that feature, and that's a feature of the Mail for Exchange email client. RoadSync, which is the other way that you can synchronize your Nokia E-series device with an Exchange server, doesn't. So it's entirely in software. So if you're using that client, and I suspect Nokia would push that as the one to use, then yes, it does. But by the same token, I don't think that wipes all of the data. I think it merely wipes the email data off there.
Maybe we could test that before you give the E61 back to WOM.
We could, although the prospect of wiping my company's email account does trouble me slightly.
And that also means it is going to give the phone back to WOM as well.
Rumour has it is going back, yeah. So anyway, yes, this week, my thing of the week, security, I'm loving it. A new sense of comfort that I can lose this phone and not be too worried.
There are another number of third-party companies offering similar types of products that allow you to wipe your phone remotely, and I think it'd be good to hear from them. If you're listening, email Ben.
Yes, I mean, I think that the ideal situation would be to link the two so that I have encryption to protect it when I don't know it's been lost, and then I can push a wipe command out when I know it's been lost so I can be confident that it's gone forever. At the moment, the password that you have to enter in order to access that encryption is just the phone lock password. So if somebody knew that, or if somebody stole it from me or managed to trick me into giving it to them somehow, I still wouldn't be 100% secure, but it prevents people from casually inspecting it if they've just stolen my phone.
Can I interject quickly while we're on the subject of the E71?
No, no, you may not.
Last shout, somebody's just dropped me a note saying, I've just found this about the E71, e71blog.com for all your info about the E71. And I'm just looking at it, it's not a bad site.
Excellent. I'll put a link in the write-up.
Cool, sorry about that. I just wanted to get that in there because it just got twittered through to me just now.
Excellent, thanks. Next up is my thing of the week, and this week I've chosen Saling Clicker. This is a piece of remote control software it supports a huge range of phones, actually. It was originally designed for Sony Ericsson handsets, and now it runs on Nokia. This bit of software for the Mac and PC. Basically, it's also scriptable, so I can actually control almost any aspect of my machine. I've been using it with a Mac, and in combination with my AirPort Express, I've been able to sit in my living room with my Mac in my office, and stream music to the living room, just controlling it from my phone. I think that's a great feature. It's not free. I think it's quite expensive, actually. It's something like $23, $25.
That's only £12.
Yeah, but if we're talking about mobile apps, that's quite expensive. But it is a desktop app as well.
That's about as much as James Watley spends on hair product every day, isn't it? So
I'm speechless. Sorry, I'm not.
So yeah, Sally Clicker basically is a great way to remotely control almost any aspect of my computer from my mobile phone. I think that's
is it an S60 app or is it a web thing?
It has an S60 app. I'm not sure if it's S60 or Java, but it is an application.
You buzz me the link to that. I'll be interested to see that.
Well, if you read the show notes, you'll be able to see it. It is actually saling.com, but I'm sure Ben will put a link up.
I'll do that now.
Puts the post up.
And how does it work, Dan? Is it Bluetooth?
Good question. It can use Bluetooth, and the original version of it was simply Bluetooth, and it did Bluetooth proximity as well. So when I left my desk and came out of range, it would lock the desktop, and when I came back, it would unlock it, which is pretty geeky, actually. That, but nice. You can also connect over Wi-Fi, which is what I like.
Good stuff. I think I might give that a try, actually, because I use a Mac at home for my media as well.
Oh, you need a Mac?
No, you don't need a Mac. There is, I believe, there is a version for Windows as well.
Oh right, okay. There you go. Windows products.
Yeah. Brilliant. So, I'd strongly recommend it. And combined with Airport Express, it is just great. It's a great way of remotely controlling iTunes.
Rock on.
Excellent. So I think that's it. I've had a quick note in from someone just asking if we were going to talk about Orange data rates. I mean, without you in here, I think any conversation about Orange and data would be lacking a certain je ne sais quoi. But suffice it to say, there is a rumour that Orange will be launching some data rates intended to compete with Vodafone's in the not-too-distant future. So that probably means higher-value tariffs having approximately 500 meg of data per month.
You're saying that.
Or intended to compete with Vodafone's, what they're going to do is instead of saying unlimited Bebo, they're saying unlimited Facebook.
But I mean, to be fair, I mean, Orange are a ridiculous thing at the moment with their £3 a month for unlimited Bebo rubbish anyway. But anyway, to be fair, when Vodafone were saying to me, we're going to be launching a data package which is going to be competitive with T-Mobile, well, actually, no, it wasn't at all. It was the same price for just 120 meg. So when they say competitive, they probably mean the same price for whatever stupid limit they put on their unlimited amount of data.
Yeah. I think the opinion here is pretty negative about Orange and everything they do. So maybe that surprises us. I doubt it, but let's see.
Well, yeah. I'd be impressed if they came up with a proper amount of data bundled into the tariff, a sensible fair use policy, and maybe a high-speed, reliable network. I mean, they are the only network in the UK, I think, to offer Edge, which would be a good fallback over standard GPRS.
I can imagine a lot of hacked iPhones heading that way if they did do a proper unlimited data package.
Also, I want to know what animal they're going to call it.
The lemur.
Unlimited data. You heard it not here first. Not so limited data. Orange, if you're listening, in all seriousness, please come out the stocks and just surprise us. Really, really want to see you do something really cool so we can go, yes, they've got the best data bundle on the market. Everyone go to Orange now.
Who has got the best data bundle on the market, James?
To be honest.
Orange Beaver, the new unlimited Beaver tariff.
You can get unlimited Bebo on Beaver.
Unlimited Beaver.
James Watley's now gazing into the distance. Does your girlfriend listen to the podcast?
I would probably say...
no one's listening anymore.
I'd probably say three, in all fairness.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yep. Three have probably the best data bundle on the market today.
They've got the most enlightened attitudes. They've got a reasonable product.
Good coverage.
Yep. In fact, the only other thing is, continuing on from last week's mini rant that I had about Vodafone, I noticed this week in their data advertising, they don't actually even state their fair use policy anymore. They just see our site for details. So they now publish the words unlimited and Facebook.
Who's
or
this?
Data.
Vodafone.
So this is why I think Three are doing it right and Vodafone are doing it wrong. They say unlimited, tiny little star, and where you would expect it to say... not really unlimited, only 500 megs. It says, take a look at our website. So I think that's now, for me, crossed a boundary into being almost misleading.
Evil.
Yeah. So, well done, Orange.
No, not well done. They haven't done anything yet.
Well done for having a rumour about doing something. we wait and see what they actually launch.
Yeah, well, we hope you get out of bed.
Yeah. Next week, you'll either hear us singing your praises... Or I think Ewan's back next week. You'll hear some pretty harsh words.
Absolutely. In Ooh. Other news, Orange thinking of allowing you to make phone calls with your phones.
Next week, actually, saying that, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be at Glastonbury. So maybe I should record my own special segment and you can intersplice that in.
And we can listen to the squelching of the mud in the background.
Maybe we'll bring you in via sat phone.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, I'll get trampled on by a really gaunt-looking Amy Winehouse.
Ugh. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for this week, trying to keep it under an hour, unlike last week's.
Under 30 minutes at this rate, isn't it?
I think we're aiming for 30 minutes this week.
We're aiming for 30 minutes. So, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on smstextnews.com.